continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, "Where are you going?" But because I told you this, grief has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Thus were the words of the Holy Gospel. We as Christians should never cease to be astonished by what Jesus tells us in today's Gospel. He swears an oath and says, "I tell you the truth. It is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Truth incarnate is telling us it is better for him to go and the Spirit to come than for him to stay and the Spirit not come. The great joy that we have is that we don't have to choose between the second and third persons of the Blessed Trinity. As Christians, when we remain in loving communion with God, we can and do have the indwelling within us, both of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father who sent them to us out of love. But by these words today, the Lord Jesus is indicating to us the extraordinary importance of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life to complete Jesus' mission in us and through us in the world. Last year, on the fourth Sunday after Easter, we pondered together how the Holy Spirit cannot remain the great unknown in Christian life, the most neglected person of the Blessed Trinity, as Pope Benedict called him, and allow him to become the great known, our teacher, our guide, our consoler, our advocate. We prayerfully examine the Holy Spirit's essential role in our prayer, in our witness to Christ, in our moral life, through a sevenfold gift of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, courage, reverence, and awe of the Lord. Today, though, I'd like to go in a different direction, diving into the deep end of the words of sacred Scripture that the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles James and John to write down for us today in today's Gospel and Epistle, so that the Spirit of truth, whom Jesus says will guide us to all truth, may help us to enflesh the truth the Church proclaims to us today anew. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will convict the world in regard to sin, to righteousness, and to condemnation. That word convict is an ancient Greek legal term. Elekkein is the word, which has the idea of a lawyer's cross-examining a person on the stand so effectively that the defendant is led to see and admit his errors and tell the whole truth. The Holy Spirit will do this, Jesus says, with us, with regard to three things. First is regard to sin, he says, because they do not believe in me. The essential work of God, Jesus told us earlier in the Last Supper Discourse in St. John, is to believe in the one the Father sent. And therefore the essential opposition to the work of God, the fundamental sin, is this failure to believe. this rejection of God, this killing of the message of the gospel in the divine messenger within the praetorium of our hearts. We know that at the time of Jesus, many were unaware of just what was really occurring at the crucifixion. The people were unaware of the sin they were committing, prompting Jesus' cry from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Many thought they were just putting to death a blasphemer, and so they cried out for his crucifixion. But after Pentecost, after the coming down of the Holy Spirit, when St. Peter, moved by the third person of the Blessed Trinity, preached to the crowd about how they had condemned a just man and crucified not a carpenter from Nazareth alone, but the Lord of glory, they were pierced to the heart. That was the first work of the Spirit, to convict the world with regard to sin. And that work continues, helping us to see the many ways we don't believe in God, the ways we don't believe and live by faith, the way we don't stake our entire existence on His Word. Second work of the Spirit is to convict the world with regard to righteousness, to justice, to the right relationship between us and God, us with others. Because, Jesus says, "I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me." The foundation for justice is Jesus' triumph over sin and death, His resurrection and ascension into glory. Jesus belongs not as a crucified criminal, but as the risen Lamb of God, to whom wisdom and power, honor and glory and praise belong. The Holy Spirit helps us to perceive Jesus' holiness, His extraordinary love that led Him to sacrifice His life for us so that we could be right with God again, to open ourselves to receive the gift of His salvation. If the first gift of the Holy Spirit is to convict us that we're really sinners who don't commit just tiny little itty-bitty peccadillos, but that all of our sins led to the crucifixion, the second work of the Holy Spirit is to say, "That's nothing compared to the righteousness of God, who seeks by that to make us His very righteousness with Him." That work continues in a special way in this Jubilee of Mercy. We know, or I hope everyone with us, all of us would know almost by heart, the formula of absolution if we frequent the great gift of God's mercy. When the priest prays, "In sending our soul back to its baptismal purity, in making heaven rejoice most of all," these words, "God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has reconciled the world to Himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins." The Holy Spirit not only convicts us of sin and righteousness, but He's been sent into the world to bring us to receive that righteousness that forgives our sins. The Holy Spirit's been sent to guide us on the path of righteousness by receiving the mercy of Jesus, the Righteous One, mercy incarnate. And the third work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus indicates, is with regard to judgment or condemnation, because He says the ruler of this world has been condemned. The Holy Spirit helps us to see that the devil has been judged. Evil has been thwarted. Wickedness no longer has the last word. He helps us to see clearly the winning side and the losing side. And He helps us to choose with clarity and courage the side we want to be on. Each of us will be judged, but the Holy Spirit helps us know exactly the criteria on which we'll be judged, so that we can choose it by His strength as we prepare to meet Jesus, that just judge. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to believe in Jesus and all He taught and did, and to choose Him over the various sinful disguises Barabbas takes in our life, we've got nothing to fear in our judgment. In the same way that a good student who's been given exactly what's going to be on the final exam and studies hard and prepares well for the exam isn't going to be shocked facing the teacher one-on-one. The Holy Spirit helps us discern that in caring for the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the naked, the imprisoned, the unknown, we're caring for Christ and choosing to go to His eternal right at that judgment. The Holy Spirit helps us to recognize that every time we cross the road to care for the Good Samaritan, cross the aisle to enter the confessional, cross ourselves and unite our joys and sufferings to Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection, we're choosing a side. That side that the Holy Spirit's whole work is to get us to long for and opt for and to help the whole world follow us as well. What a great and indispensable work this is. The work of the Holy Spirit, by leading us to all truth and helping us to live the truth, is ultimately seeking to sculpt us into the divine likeness, to help us to become holy as God is holy, merciful as God is merciful, teleos as God is teleos, fit for our purpose just like God is His. That's what the word perfect as God is perfect means. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. James tells us today that God willed to give us birth by the word of truth so that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The action of the Holy Spirit inside of us is to help us to become first fruits of all creation. And what happened to the first fruits in the Old Testament? The first fruits were always given to God, who would bless them with that growth. The Holy Spirit helps us not only to receive all of God's gifts, but to become a gift and to help us to offer ourselves back to the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, our logikē latreia, the only sacrifice that makes sense, the only adoration that's ultimately worthy of God, is when we meet God in the game of divine poker, when He says, "I'm all in," and even though our chips are much smaller than His, we're all in too, as first fruits. The Holy Spirit helps us to receive on good soil the seed of God's word of truth, so that we might give deeds of truth back to God together with our very being. This helps us to understand what St. James tells us immediately afterward today, which are words that we in 2016 need to hear. He says, "Know this, my dear brothers. Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man doesn't accomplish God's righteousness." The Holy Spirit wants to transform us so that we are quick to hear. Hear what? With our right ear to hear God's word, and with our left ear to hear the cries of the needy, the cries of our neighbor. He wants to help us to learn to listen with the ears of our hearts, like the contemplative heart of the Blessed Mother, who shows us what the work of the Holy Spirit accomplishes. But in order to listen, we first need to be slow to speak and slow to anger. This is something that's essential for us to become like God. You remember how God revealed Himself to Moses on Mount Sinai when He was about to give him the Ten Commandments. He came down from heaven and He said, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity." To be slow to anger means that we will be quick to mercy. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us to become gracious and merciful like the Father in this very way. Because as He tells us through St. James, the anger of man doesn't accomplish God's holiness, but the mercy of man does. We're living in a day in which we know in which everybody's quick to speak. We're constantly commenting. We're constantly sharing our opinions, even when it's not asked. We're constantly mouthing off. So many good Catholics should receive both postdoctoral degrees in gossip and in detraction. And they think that it's righteousness to tear their neighbor down, slaying their brother as Cain did Abel with their tongue, to use Pope Francis's celebrated image. No, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't see the Blessed Mother gossiping. We don't see Saint Joseph mouthing off. And if we're going to truly become that great work of the Holy Spirit, we'll become ever more like them, so that when we speak in deeds of love, so that when we speak, we explode with magnificats of praise, passing on what we ourselves have heard. Jesus says something very important at the end of today's gospel about the Holy Spirit. He said, "He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming." Jesus likewise, when he was speaking of himself, said, "I don't speak on my own. I speak what the Father tells me to say." And therefore, if we're going to truly become whom God wants us to be, whom he sends the Holy Spirit to help us to become, then we're not going to be mouthing off with our own opinions. But we're going to have listened so carefully to the Word of God and to the cries of our siblings, that when we speak, we'll be an echo of the voice of the Good Shepherd, who through the Holy Spirit calls us by name. During this year of mercy, the Holy Spirit wants to help us to become more and more men and women like God by listening to God's Word so attentively, by allowing it to be implanted in the good soil of our hearts, that we will receive it as a word to be done and to be sheared, and learn how to pass on as of first importance what we ourselves have received, to give the first fruits of our cooperation with God for the salvation of the world, and to learn in this way to love each other along the same path of righteousness by which God has loved us first, by giving our lives to help restore people to God's justice. And one of the most important places in which the Holy Spirit accomplishes that work is here at Mass. Just as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary at the Annunciation, so he overshadows this altar and the priest of the consecration to transform bread and wine into the eternal Son of God enfleshed. And so he overshadows the church to make us one body, one spirit in Christ. As Pope Emeritus Benedict said 8 years ago, the Eucharist is a perpetual Pentecost, since every time we celebrate Mass, we receive the Holy Spirit who unites us more deeply with Christ and transforms us into him. It's not only a transubstantiation of the elements, but if we cooperate, there will be a miraculous transformation of ourselves. Today, we turn to the Holy Spirit, the better part, as Jesus says, and pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us to all truth. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to become quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in us in the fire of your love, and send us forth to light the world ablaze." Praise be Jesus Christ.